Colossians 3, 9 and 10, and then I'll go all over the place. And I've got a lot of other verses, but Linda's going to put those on the screen for you. But keep your fingers and your Bibles open to chapter 3 of Colossians and pick up the verses. I look at them there. But there's a lot that Paul wants us to think about putting on the new person. He says put on the new man, but you know how we like to be politically correct with our verbiage, and so let's put on the new person tonight. And it says in verses 9 and 10, he starts with, lie not to one another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's the key thought. Put on the new person. You've put off the old, now put on the new. Let's pray. Our Lord and Savior, we praise your name because you died for us. You lived a life that is sinless and pure. You didn't need to die. You're the only human who ever lived that didn't deserve to die. But you died for us because we do deserve to die. But you died in our place, giving us your righteousness so that we might be your righteousness before God the Father when we come to the last day. Lord, we thank you for your love, that you would do that for us. And now that you have done that for us, we are new creatures in you. And we like that. We love it. We want to be those new creatures. And as we look in these instructions for you've gave Paul to give to us, help us to see what we're supposed to be. Help us to know what we're supposed to do. Help us to have a new enthusiasm to be the people you've called us to be. And Lord, encourage us tonight to be the kind of people we can be because you give us the power to do it. Lord, just bless us as we look in your word and then use us to be what you want us to do. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Now when he calls us in verse 9, see that we put off the old man, we need to consider what the old self really is. You know, the old self, that which he called us out of. And I don't know. If you were saved as a child, you might not have put off too much. You know, I think sometimes and I was saved when I was 9 years old, and some of you can give a similar testimony. We didn't have the sense of what we put off so much as a person who is saved when they're an adult. A person who is saved as an adult knew what they were saved out of better. They lived a life that was more recognizable as a very sinful person. They knew what they were saved from. They lived that which was bad. They knew that which was awful. They knew that which was wrong. A child didn't have that same self. They just knew that, yeah, I did wrong. I did that which I shouldn't have done. They knew that they had sinned, but not like an adult would know. But the old self has certain qualifications and things that they know that we've done. The old self is self-centered. Very much self-centered. And the self-centered person has three basic qualities, and I'll hit them and then I'll come back to them. They have the sense of, I want, I need, and I feel. Now, I want has a sense of desire. I want, I desire things. That's the person who wants and needs and goes after whatever it is that fulfills a desire that is selfish. It doesn't matter that somebody else has a need. It doesn't matter that somebody else has a feeling. It doesn't matter what somebody else, it's what I want. You see this very much in children, but you know what? Adult people sometimes never lose that sense of selfishness. Adult people sometimes are just as self-centered as children are. And I want it, and it doesn't matter that somebody else has it. I want it. and we have that desire, I'm going to go after it, I'm going to get it, and it doesn't matter who it hurts. I want it. But not only do I want it, then I need it. This gets into the area of greed or ambition. When we're greedy, we don't only want what we want more of it and more of it, and it continues to grow. Enough is never enough. And that gets into the area of ambition. Remember what how much Howard Hughes said was enough? Who knows that one? A little bit more. There you go. A little bit more. How much is ever enough when you're a greedy person? You never get enough, do you? It's interesting to me how that the business world and the government world foments a sense of ambition. They encourage it. I used to work for the government. And they encourage you to be ambitious. If you're not doing things that would get you a step higher than you are now, you're not working hard enough. You should be doing things that gets your plan to get you better, higher, and another step up the pay grade, or you're not doing a good enough job. You should be ambitious. They encourage you to be ambitious, and if you're not working to be ambitious, you're not a good employee. Folks, that's the world we live in today. They encourage ambition, and that's the same way in the business world today. In fact, in the education world, it's somewhat like that. You ever hear of a career ladder? Gina's shaking her head because she knows. Carol knows. Anybody who's in the education world knows a career ladder. And you better be working on your career ladder or go home. Because you're not a good teacher if you're not working on that career ladder and working up it and getting a higher position. You got to be ambitious. Folks, we recognize that the world we live in encourages greed and ambition. That's what you're supposed to be. If you're going to get all you can get out of this life, you need to be greedy and ambitious. That fulfills the sense of I need, I want, and I need. But the old self also says, I feel, which gets into the area of lust. I feel a drive, and I've got to fulfill the drives. Everything that I feel, I've got to fulfill it. It's a natural, and therefore I've got to go for that because it's natural. The world tells us it's inborn, and I was born this way, and because I was born this way, I've got to act on it. And because I've got to act on it, nobody can tell me it's wrong. Folks, our degraded, depraved world encourages us to fulfill it. That's the old self. And we are dead to that when we're a new person, but I'm still in the old self. The old person is dead to God. James 1:15 says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Death. And a dead person cannot know God. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we all were sinners. And all who have not been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ are dead to God. That's a done deal. All people have sinned, and dead people cannot see God. This is where I told them to put in the next one. John 3:18. And I didn't write this one down, so I got to turn to that one. John 3:16 is very well known to everybody. But John 3:18 is very important. Because he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that does not believe in Jesus Christ as his Savior is already condemned. It's not a choice. It's a done deal. And dead people cannot see God. Folks, people who are the old person are dead to God. They don't have a relationship with God. They cannot have a relationship with God until they know Jesus. It's done. Paul tells us there are things that we must put off. And these are listed in verses 5 through 8. So let's look on down in this chapter, 5 through 8. Mortify, therefore, that means put to death. Put to death your members which are upon the earth. And he lists a couple of lists here. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things think the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. In the which you also walked in some time when you lived in them. That's past tense. But now also put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Now, the first list, he said, you used to do that. The next list, he says, now you need to get rid of these things. That's present tense. He's saying, you know that you as Christians still have some work to do. The first list included sexual immorality, which included two basic things. First was behavior patterns. Don't do those things anymore. You know you used to do them. Don't do them anymore. Now that's an easy thing to say. That's the same thing that Jesus said to the woman taken in adultery, wasn't it? He said, is no man condemn you? He said, no. He said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. He didn't say you didn't sin. He just said, don't live like that anymore. That's a basic instruction. Isn't that the same thing he says to us as believers today? Don't live like that anymore. You may have lived like that once. Don't live like that anymore. But the next instruction Paul gives us here is thought patterns. Basically, Brother Brad preached on that this morning. Thought patterns. Don't let those thoughts come into your head like that anymore either. You can't dwell on these things. You can't think on these things. You can't give it a place in your mind, because what comes into your mind goes into your heart. And what goes into your heart comes out in behavior patterns. You got to give it to the Lord. So the bad thought patterns. But what Paul really keys on here are destructive behavior. And that's what I wanted to key on in verse 8. Because in verse 8, we have three types of hate and two types of speech. Look at them. Put off these things: anger, wrath, and blasphemy. Three types of hate. Anger, where you have absolute burning rage towards somebody, where somebody has treated you wrong and you are not going to put up with it, and you get after them. You're going to get even, whatever it takes. This includes something that smolders and lasts for years and years and years, and you won't give it up. You ever have that kind of anger towards somebody? Is it always there below the surface? Every time you see them, there's that flare up of anger that just eats at you. You just can't let it go. You just can't turn loose of it. You may not say anything. You may not do anything, but there's that pit in your stomach that you just burn. You can't turn it loose. Paul says you got to put it off. You got to turn loose of it. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. It also includes flare-up anger that flashes and you can't control it. There's two types of anger that just absolutely destroy Christian witness. That which smolders and that which flares up and you can't control it. But he also talks about malice. That's that which you're going to get even and you plot and you scheme and you plan to do something. Malice. You're going to get even. Vengeance. You don't give place to vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. No, no, no. I'm going to get even. Vengeance is mine. I'm going to get them. Paul says here, put off these things. How can you put that off? That's the question. How can I put that off? Because it eats at me so deeply and they've wronged me so badly. How can I put that off? You know there's only one way. That's to let the Holy Spirit of God change you. It can't be you doing it. You can't put it off by yourself. But the Holy Spirit can change you. That's what we're talking about tonight. Put on the new person. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. He also tells you to put off two types of speech. He says blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, blasphemy is any kind of talk which would bring dishonor to God. Now, that might include cursing, swearing, bad words. Uh-oh, I'm getting personal now. I don't know if any of y'all use what we call swear words or not. In a congregation this size, there probably some of you do. I would think this would include swear words. And I know that in a group where people do use swear words, it can destroy a Christian witness. If people hear you use words that a common person out in the street would use, and you claim the name of Jesus Christ, you have just sullied the name of Jesus Christ by using that kind of language. How many times have I had people, even in my home, say something, use an expletive, and say, oh, pardon my French. Folks, once it's said, you can't pardon it. You can't undo it. It's already done. But that's the least of these. Anytime that you say something to somebody that is hurtful and they know that you're a Christian, you sullied the name of Jesus Christ. Anytime you've shown somebody disrespect and you know that they know that you're a Christian, you sullied the name of Jesus Christ. Anytime you've shown somebody other than love, you've sullied the name of Jesus Christ. We are to be salt and light in this world. And anytime that we do something that is not salt and light, we have blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a sense of responsibility we need to feel. I don't care whether it's a workplace or we're in the store or wherever we are, We are representatives of our Savior. And we blaspheme His name many, many ways. And our speech had better be protected. Whatever we say and whatever we do. But he says, filthy communication out of your mouth. And that can be all kinds of stuff. It doesn't have to be swear words. It can be what you're talking about. It can be the subject matter you're discussing. It can be whatever types of things you're having to say. And the way you're saying them. Be careful. Remember that song that children used to sing? You may have taught it to children when you were teaching children. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love. And that doesn't change no matter how old you get. Be careful. Well, that's the old man. We need to put on the new man. Why? Because we've been reborn. We're a new creature. Chapter 2 and verse 13 says that we've been buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. We've been raised from the dead. We are new in Christ. We were old, but because of faith in Jesus Christ, we are new in him. Because we are new in him, we need to be new in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, folks, if we're new, we ought to be new. We need to have new ways of thinking. Well, what are some of the new ways of thinking? Oh, back to chapter 3 of Colossians here. Let's look at verses 12 through 15. He goes to some of that stuff. He says, put on, therefore. He told us what to put off. Now let's look what to put on. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Remember that love, that's love, right? Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body. And be you thankful. Oh, that's good stuff. New ways of thinking. New ways of thinking. Look at some of the things that he mentioned. He mentioned compassion. That means thinking of other people's needs and goodness. What do they need? What can help them? Now, remember the old man? Selfishness. What do I need? What do I want? Greedy, selfish. And now the new person thinks about, what does somebody else need? What can I do for them? How can I help them? What can I do for them? That's not the natural way of doing from the world's perspective. But the new person in Christ thinks that way. I can do something to help. And in desiring other people's good. We think about other people's welfare before we think of our own. Wow, this is a whole new way of thinking. It's just, I've lost my word there, so I'll go on. He talks about kinds of humility, of just not thinking more of myself than I ought to think, and putting others ahead of myself. And he talks about having a forgiving heart. Why do I have a forgiving heart now when I didn't have before, where I wanted to get revenge and I wanted to hate people and I wanted to be mad at them all the time? And now I want to forgive. Why? Because Christ forgave so much for me and all that stuff that I did, and he just forgave me. And that's why I want to forgive. You remember a few years ago, several years ago now, when a man walked into an Amish school in Minnesota and shot dead all the little girls in that school? And the first response of the parents of that school was, "We forgive him." What a testimony of the love of Jesus in their hearts that is. That's not natural. That's the love of Jesus in the hearts of those people. That's the new person. Folks, we forgive because Jesus forgave us. We have a new way of behaving because love replaces hate. Just like darkness cannot exist where light exists, hate cannot exist where love abides. They cannot coexist. Love will always win out over hate. Forgiveness replaces revenge. Patience replaces fault finding and finger pointing. And generosity replaces greed. The new person always wins over the old person. We are a new creation. A new creation is capable of worshiping God. We love God because we recognize God first loved us. We respond in love when we feel the love that God gave us. Therefore, we're capable of loving one another, which is what Jesus told us. This is how the world you will know that you're my disciples, because you love one another. They'll see it and they'll know it. We're capable of serving Jesus because he loves us and we love him, and because we're a new creation, we can serve him. This is how we'll know, because you keep my commandments, he says. Because we're new creatures, we're going to be capable of being at peace. When all the world is flying apart all around us, we can be at peace. It doesn't matter what's happening to us. It doesn't matter what's happening around us. We can be at peace because we know whose we are. And we know who's keeping us. And we know that all things work out to good for those who love the Lord, the ones who are called according to his purpose. We can be at peace. And we can be thankful. And all things. That's the thing that floors me about the promise. Be thankful in all things. It doesn't say in all the only the good times. In the good times and the bad times. In the up times and the down times. Be thankful in all things. Don't be thankful for all things. I can't be thankful because I'm sick. I'm not thankful for that. But I can be thankful when I am sick. It's okay. Be thankful in all things. Because we know who loves us. And that never fails. Folks, we have tonight a call to renewal. Because we are putting on the new person all the time. All the time. You know, sometimes we often fall short. Sometimes we just don't remember to do it. Do you ever leave the house and look down and say, "Ooh, I forgot to put on something"? Maybe your socks, or "Oh, I forgot my belt," or something. We do that sometimes with our daily lives too. "I forgot to put on my patience today. I forgot to put on my love today. I forgot something." And sometimes we look at the world instead of looking at Jesus. And we mess up. We fall short. Maybe we're drawn to think like the world thinks instead of like Jesus thinks. And when we're drawn that way, you know what James said we're drawn by? We're drawn away by our own lusts. He wasn't writing to lost people. He's writing to believers. And we're drawn by our own desires because we looked at the world and we liked what we saw. We're drawn away. And when we mess up and we turn inward instead of upward, we fail Jesus. And sometimes we do. And when we fail, we're called to be renewed. And we need to remember Romans 12, 1 and 2. I know you know it. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to be transformed, changed into what Jesus wants us to be. But we do it by aiming our mind and our thoughts and our intents to be in line with what Jesus knows we can be. It's there, but we need to let Him make us what we need to be. When we mess up, it's not because He's failed us. It's because we've failed Him. We are being transformed, but only as we let Him do it. When we mess up, we've quit working at it. Have you messed up today? Have you fallen away and you need to come back to Him? This would be a wonderful time to give Him the due that is His and let Him bring you back and put you back on the track that you need to be on, because you know you ought to be returned to where you need to be. I want us to have that chance tonight in our invitation time. Pray with me. Our Lord Jesus, we pray and thank You so much for Your love. And we admit, Lord, that we've messed up and we failed You. And Lord, tonight we want to give You what is Yours. And we want to admit and confess that we have failed. And we want to ask You to forgive us and come back to You and give You our full attention and our full dedication. Lord, tonight this invitation is for somebody who wants to make a special stand and say, "I want to rededicate my life to live for Jesus like I should be doing and I haven't been." Lord, give them courage to come forward, kneel at this altar, make that dedication and pray and give you the dedication that You want to have and honor and glorify Your name. We want to give You all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. If you want to do that, the altar is open tonight.